Okay. Oh, yeah, that one does even echo a little bit. Today's message will be coming from you in a cave. Okay, so once again, that's James chapter 1, 21 through 27. I'll just give a little bit of review here. Looking back at verse 18, that tells us that God brought us forth by his own will using the word of truth, all made possible through Jesus Christ. He uses the word to save us and to transform us via the work of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Somewhere along the way, we were led to the gospel by the Holy Spirit. He nudged us toward the gospel until we heard the word of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Someone shared the gospel with us, just like we heard read in the scripture this morning in Matthew. And then 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." So we heard the word and responded to it, or as Paul says, we received it. At that point, we were a doer of the word, and from then on became commissioned, or another way to look at that is privileged, to hear and to carry out or do what the word says to do. Now, last time we also looked at verses 18 through 20, where James was teaching to be swift to listen, slow to speak, and slow to wrath regarding God's word. We know that principle holds true to all things, but James was specifically referring to God's word as the lead up to the next verses, where he tells us how to make sure we receive God's word as he intended. And now we'll read through James chapter 1, 21 through 27. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." So let's back up to verse 21 and look at that. That says, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So in verse 21, filthiness in the original language uses a word that is a reference to earwax. And if your ears are full of wax, you can't hear. Did your dad ever tell you to dung out your ears? I think my dad might have said that a few times or something close to that. James is telling us to get rid of all the garbage that keeps us from rightly hearing and receiving God's word. James tells us to lay down our old lifestyle, much like Peter and Paul do in their books. And as a comparative, we'll look at 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. That's 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. And that says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted the Lord is gracious. Sounds very much like James 1:21. It's not always an easy process, but we know from Philippians 6 that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. It is really a matter of opening our hands and letting go of it. Then our hands are open to receive the things of Christ. As in verse 21, when we do receive his word, we are to receive it with meekness. And meekness is perhaps best described as humble obedience. Now, we don't like the word obedience. It's just one of those words. But it is just a matter of trusting God and his word, his will, not our own. Here are a few thoughts about obeying God. The first one, it brings true freedom. Following God's guidance relieves us from the burden of trying to figure everything out on our own. We quickly forget that. I know I do. It proves our trust. Obeying God's word, especially when it is difficult, is the hard proof of our faith and love for him. It builds a solid foundation. Aligning our lives with his commands keeps us grounded through life's storms. The implanted word in verse 21 is a reference to the transformative power of God's word when it takes root in our hearts. Our hearts are the soil for God's word, and the soil must be prepared to receive it so it can take root and produce bountiful fruit. We know that the word, just a few things of the word, is that it brings salvation, produces new life, spiritual nourishment, cleanses and purifies, generates faith, equips for victory, strengthens and revives. It provides direction, brings prosperity and success, not the kind that the world sees, but the type that takes place in God's kingdom. Healing, comfort, protection, and yes, even correction. Wisdom also comes from his word, or rather it is the application of his word to the circumstances of life. In order for any of these things to take effect, we must hear the word and act on it. And so we see James in the next verse says exactly that. It is probably the most quoted verse of the book of James. And it says, and it's verse 22, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So here is an illustration of this. We have another James from history, and that is Jesse James. So Jesse James, about 150 years ago, was a notorious outlaw. Now here's probably what you didn't know. I didn't know this. He was a pastor's kid. Go figure. He was raised in church. He was a baptized member in good standing of First Baptist Church in Kearney, Missouri. Now, supposedly the day he got baptized, right before his baptism, he went and killed someone in a robbery and then got baptized. In his lifetime, Jesse James killed about 20 different people. I'm sure that's plus or minus. It is said that he loved church, loved singing in the church. In fact, he was in the church choir, and there are even reports that Jesse James was a Sunday school teacher. One biographer in his book, The Rise and Fall of Jesse James, wrote this concerning him. This is a quote from Jesse James. And I don't know how they came about this quote, but it is in the biography. And he said this. He expected to go to heaven when he died, for he believed that he had lived the best life he possibly could live under the circumstances, and therefore was entitled to salvation. So there is where not being a doer of the word becomes a grave deception. You might say he never rightly heard the word or was a doer of it because he completely misunderstood and missed out on even salvation. So moving on to James 1:23-25. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So, I often like to look at Jesus as the example. However, this time, and of course he is always the example, but this time I want to look directly at what Jesus has to say in a portion of scripture that will bring these verses into a better understanding. If we back up and consider the reference to the implanted word in verse 21 and follow that through 23-25, we begin to see a familiarity to the parable of the sower. So let's start with the parable, and then we will hear Jesus' explanation of it. And we'll see just how familiar that is to this passage. So that's found in Luke 8, Luke chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 5. And we'll end up in probably 20 or so. And keep in mind, this is Jesus speaking in Luke 8. He's telling the parable of the sower, and then he's going to explain it. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. He had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Perhaps some of their ears had some earwax in them. Now the parable is this, and this is Jesus' explanation in verse 11 of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out, are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. And this verse here is very much like James 1:23-24. And this is what we encounter as we go through life. Back to Luke 8:15. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, like James 1:25, if we hear it and do it, we will be blessed. Jesus goes on instructions in Luke 8 In verse 16, he says, no one, when he has a lit lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see it. So when we receive the word and bear fruit, we become a light that needs to shine unto the world Christ. And of course, as we heard in Matthew this morning, part of that is giving out the gospel. In finishing out Luke chapter 8 and verse 20 and 21, Jesus says, and it was told him by some who said, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Now in this, Jesus is declaring a special relationship, one that is even closer than family. It is the relationship with our awesome Savior that can only come from prayer, hearing his words, and doing them. There is no greater blessing than what he desires to do in our life. And then if we look at 26 and 27 of James chapter 1, that's the last two verses of the chapter, and that reads, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. It seems that James is defining what a doer isn't, and that is one who goes through this ceremony of ritual of religion and doesn't actually carry out God's word. The original language for religion does not speak of anything holy and actually points to ceremony and ritual. You'll find that the word religion is only used about 5 or 6 times in the Bible, and it's never used in a positive sense. So there's something to be... And that's because the word that is used does refer to ceremony and ritual. And we'll kind of go through and see why that isn't so good. The original language, for religion does not speak of anything holy and actually points to ceremony and ritual. And we saw this earlier in the story of Jesse James. But a good example from the period that this was written is the Pharisees. So if we can see that in Matthew 23, starting in verse 3, that's Matthew 23. And this is Jesus talking about the Pharisees. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. They were giving out the word because in the old churches, the temple, they would read from the scrolls. So Jesus says to observe and do what they say, but not what they do, because they were not doers of the word. And this goes on in verse 5, Jesus is still talking about the Pharisees here. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad, that's part of their clothing, and enlarge the borders of their garments. So they walked through the temple and the streets with, as Paul would say, much pomp and fanfare. They really thought they were something else and that they were religious. And in Down in verse 14 of Matthew 23, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers." So what he was really telling them is their religion was useless. In today's perspective, it is more like going through the motions and checking off all the boxes, but the likeness of Christ not showing through. Our tongue puts forth what is in the heart. If we go through the motions, we do not deceive God, we only deceive ourselves. His word should manifest itself in a way that is pleasing to him. James gives us the example of showing the compassion of Christ by helping widows and orphans. He also gives the example of keeping ourselves from being influenced by the world around us. In all of these verses, parts of chapter 1, the thing that stands out to me the most is the importance of his word. It is easy to become complacent of it and feel like we're doing a chore or a task instead of fully realizing that we have been given an awesome privilege to obtain a copy of the absolute truth that is divinely inspired and God-breathed. It is intended to bring us unto a sweet fellowship with our Savior and transform us into his likeness. If we do not hear it, we cannot be a doer of it. If we are not a doer of what we hear, then it does not transform us. The seeds will never grow to maturity and bear fruit, just as Jesus tells us. Now, in today's world, I hear a lot of times regarding the Bible, and I'm just going to pick three things here. One is, I don't have time, and that's speaking of reading the Bible. I don't have time, I don't understand it, and it's boring. So I'll just go through and address each one of those. There's all kinds of things you hear to that effect. So, I don't have time. Well, it does say, hear the word. It doesn't specifically say to read it. In fact, back in that day, it was a little bit difficult to read it. But it does say, hear the word. Though I would probably argue it's better to read it, but if you truly feel that you don't have time, perhaps try to listen to it. There are recordings of the Bible being read out loud, or if you find a good Through the Bible teacher who has an audio series that goes through the word verse by verse and explains it. J. Vernon McGee is one of those. He's tried and true, good old Southern. He sounds like kind of like a hillbilly, but he knows what he's talking about, that's for sure. Kind of makes you feel at home. Now, how about I don't understand it? Find a good commentary that you can refer to when you find something that you don't understand. Don't let anyone tell you that commentaries are bad. As with anything in this world, there is bad amongst the good. But there are some folks who have spent their entire lives studying God's word in the original language and culture and have made it their life's work to bring that knowledge to you. Let's not forget the Holy Spirit. Part of his work as a helper is to help us understand God's word. He is the Bible companion. In John 14:26, this is Jesus speaking again. It says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." The Father sent us the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to be our helper, to continue the work of Christ, to help us to pray, to understand God's word, to remember it and apply it in our lives, to produce the fruit of the Spirit. This is just a part of what he does in our lives, but it applies directly to what we have been looking at today. We should engage him. Now, this is just a sidebar here regarding the Holy Spirit, some thoughts. I think that the Holy Spirit is probably one of the most underappreciated and underutilized part of the Trinity. We sometimes forget that there is three parts there, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And, of course, we know the Holy Spirit doesn't desire the glory. He desires it be given to Jesus and the Father. But he does indwell us. Have you ever lived with someone in the same house and never said hello? He helps us. Do we thank him? We grieve him, as Scripture says. Do we ever apologize? Do we ever ask him to help us understand the words of Christ? They're just trying to stir up some thought there with that sidebar. Let's look at the third, and that's, it's boring. And I would say make it interesting to you. Try using a Bible app like eSword. I'm sure there's plenty of others, too, that enable you to look at scriptures by subject matter so you can look at subjects that you're interested in. There are often dictionaries, cross-references, and commentaries and study guides for free or to buy in those apps. Now, ultimately, these are all excuses. I know because I've used them all at one point in my walk. So, being that this is Father's Day, I'm going to throw one of my dad's sayings out there. And that is, an excuse only satisfies the person giving it. It doesn't satisfy God, in other words. He wants us to be in his word. So in closing, let's remember that the word is powerful, living, absolute truth, and is what brought us to salvation in Jesus Christ. We can meet him for fellowship. It is what transforms us when we live it, and it blesses us eternally. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, that he makes all things possible, that he has brought us the Word, and that you have given us the Holy Spirit to help us to understand it. We pray, Father, that you would create a desire in our heart to be in your Word, and not just to be in it and to hear it, but to be a doer of it, to live it out each day, and to meet you there. We thank you that we can meet you there for fellowship in your word, to learn about you and your kingdom, and that it is powerful, that it can transform us and change our lives. We pray, Father, that you would be with us each day as we try to walk closer to you and have relationship with you. We thank you for, again, the opportunity to be here this morning to worship and fellowship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, once we receive that word and begin to live it fully in our lives, we pray, Father, that you would help us to share it, especially the gospel, as we heard in Matthew this morning, so that others can experience that same wonderful relationship with you. We pray this in the powerful and awesome name of Jesus. Amen.